Oh, okay, I got it now. It took me a second. I was like, what movie is this? Yes! Hello! God, what a great movie. Look, hopefully we give you a great show today. We're certainly going to try to. We got a lot planned, including Ruben Amaro in just a moment. We're going to have life advice with the hammer. Get those questions in. What do you need help with? Life advice. Facebook, Twitter, and the text line, 845.
Could I ask an early one?
Yes.
Ooh.
Should you wear sweatpants when big wigs are coming into your office?
Here's what I'd say. The big bosses, they know who the real boss is.
Let me cut that audio and we can play it for them when they get there.
There's a reason Frank Sinatra was the chairman of the board. He might not have been on the board, but he was the board. Yeah. All right? All right, so says the hammer. By the way, Jason...
So says the hammer. Yeah,
pull that for drop of the week. By the way, Jason Kelce at 7:30 today. How about this? Boots Ennis, champion of the world, welterweight champion of the world from Philadelphia with us at 9:30. So a lot of good stuff, including the aforementioned Ruben Amaro. Good morning, Rube.
Good morning, my brother.
How are you, pal?
I'm great.
You're better than Nick Sirianni this week.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
You are.
Yeah, he's had a rough go.
So, Ruben, let's just start there, and then we'll broaden this out, and we'll get to a lot of calls. So, you, and I say this with all love, like, you went through it, man. You were one of those guys. To me, you're top 10 this century, where for 2 or 3 years, I mean, the town was coming down on you.
Heavy.
Town's coming down on Sirianni right now. Here's the question. What is that like? What's he dealing with?
Well, it's not fun. There's no question about that. There's nothing, you know, you're a human being, so you're taking bullets. But I always believe this, and I'll never stop believing it. You get these jobs here in Philadelphia. You've earned this job in Philadelphia. You've also earned the scrutiny of the fan. And so you have to, you know, you have to live it. I remember telling my kids, you know, when I got the job originally, listen, for 3 years, are you going to love your dad? Mm. After 3 years, they're going to crush your dad.
Wow. And that's very interesting.
Your dad's your dad.
Do you think
and
being
so
from
you find it's better to ignore or better to try to be ahead of things, try to embrace and understand what's being said?
Oh, I think you have to be aware of it, especially in this city. You can't ignore it. I thought, you know, that was one of the things that Andy Reid sort of did. He sort of
that was the encouragement.
And I love Andy Reid, but mm-hmm. he sort of ignored everything. He turned it off. And at times, I think you have to do that, but you also have to be
encouraged
cognizant
us.
Of it. Yeah.
He encouraged us as players to do the same thing.
Right.
It was very stern. Hey, don't turn it on. Don't listen. And I thought that was unrealistic.
Yeah.
As a player at the time, I thought, wow, I can't believe he's saying that. Because, like, as soon as he said it, I'm seeking it out.
Yeah, there's different sets of noise now, right? Obviously, there's, you got the social media and all that stuff. So it's
present.
So you have to be able to deal with it and be open about it. And that's how I felt I needed to deal with it because I know the city. I know the mentality. I understand it. And so if you don't understand it, you don't really know it, then it makes it really, really difficult. But it wasn't fun? No.
Yeah. Ruben, let me take it beyond not fun. I'm just curious. And again, I'm not in the mood to defend Sirianni this week. I think he's done a lousy job this year. But let me just ask this question. Not does it bother you? We know it bothers. How could it not? Does it hurt? Does it hurt you?
I don't know if it didn't really hurt me. It was just sort of expected. I mean, it hurts a little
There's
bit.
There's no way it
But it
can't.
doesn't take you... Listen,
not
it
hurt.
My understanding of it is that, yes, it probably hurt, but it's not going to take me down or affect how I go about my business as a dad, as a husband, as a partner, as a, as a leader for the organization. I mean, that's when, I learned a lot from David Montgomery. That's when you sort of have to step up, man, and just be the best leader you can be. And continue to encourage your guys.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. I mean, we're also asking today about the Eagles in a positive way. Do you see a path for this team becoming a good team this year? 3-2, not a bad record, but not good performances. And frankly, they haven't really had a good performance, and it feels like now about a calendar year. Do you think they can become a good team? Let's go to Dan in Philadelphia. Dan, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, guys. How are we today?
Doing all right, Dan.
I think we have the two biggest problems that an NFL football team could have. One, we have a coach that's terrible. And two, we have a quarterback that is maximized. He's just maxed out. That's as good as he's going to get. And obviously it's not good enough. We've had, what, three or four, if you include Sirianni, four offense coordinators.
Yeah, four if you include Sirianni. That's right.
And it's the same offense. So it says, it's indicating something, that it's clearly Jalen Hurts and he can't progress to anything other than this offense that they keep implementing.
Well, that's what I think, Dan.
We don't know that.
John, what says that it's not true?
Wait, the question is what says
that
it's
not
true?
Well, I think what Dan's...
I don't know what's said.
I think what Dan's trying to say is, John, what's your theory if it's not that? What in the world else could it be?
That the... this is what someone else believes is the right methodology. Is it just Jalen that believes that this is like the best way to go about it? I know they're asking him what he likes. Who else could be responsible? It's Kellen Moore. It's Nick Sirianni at the top of that list. Nick Sirianni is a common thread also.
Do you think Kellen Moore doesn't want to run under center, though? I mean, he's run it so much in his past. Why would you assume that it's Kellen? You know what
so
I mean?
So much in his past. He has run it in his past. Everyone has, including Jalen Hurts,
barely.
But Jalen hasn't,
sure.
Really. He has.
Every offensive coordinator has run it, except the ones that coach Jalen Hurts for some reason.
I mean, Dan, I don't know what the numbers are.
Nick Sirianni has been here.
I feel like it's inarguable at this point.
I agree. Like, Dan, I don't know what the numbers are in the 4.5 years Hurts has been. Well, let's call it 4 years he's been the starter. Four games year one, three full years, five games so far. 4 years he's been the starter. Other than tush pushes, I don't know if they've had 30 plays where he's under center.
30? I don't know if they've had 10.
I'm
dead serious.
I know, James. Yeah. I went conservative. I know.
That's
something that really crushes me.
I
don't understand why they're not under center.
Because he's not comfortable.
Because he's not comfortable. There's no other explanation.
And Ruben, the problem is he didn't do it in Alabama. He didn't do it in Ohio. Like, this is what he does. Did.
Where does Doug Neusmeyer come into play here?
He's
the quarterback. He's the new quarterback coach.
Once upon a time.
And he's had so many different ears.
That was
in
John
DeFilippo.
Right? Once upon a time, Doug Neusmeyer was John DeFilippo, where he was, we were told, the bad cop. Where he was the guy who told Carson Wentz, hey, man, your mechanics are all screwed up. Like, your footwork is terrible today. Let's check this out. Run the tape. Let's fix it.
All that aside, it doesn't fix the fact that Jalen Hurts can only play in the shotgun.
Effectively anymore.
Don't know
right.
that he
and
can only
way,
play it, in the shotgun. That's
John, they would be John. They would be doing it if
say.
He could do
John,
it.
You pro-
it
you pro-
it
John,
is not
you promised
that
me.
Hard.
You promised
you did
me.
Promise.
You James, tell him what he promised.
You promised that if this kept happening with Kellen Moore, you would stop blaming it on the coach or stop blaming on the coaching and start blaming Jalen. You said that. You
in
promised
the
it.
Okay. You said it in the summer.
You did.
What am I supposed to be not blaming now?
You're supposed to acknowledge that it's Jalen Hurts.
It's a Jalen thing.
Jalen needs to be better, no question. But it's not Jalen's decision, the way that the offense is constructed around him. It's not Jalen's decision.
Then it's his deficiencies. His decision or his deficiencies,
well, sure.
And they know that he can't. Right, it's one or the other.
Dan, give me a great answer here. A prop you like to have in your home, a movie prop.
I told James one, but since we're talking about boxing today, how about the championship belt from Rocky?
That's pretty good.
That's a good really one. Good answer. Yeah,
that's pretty good. Ruben, what would you like to have in your home from a movie?
I'd like to have Wilson.
Great answer.
Oh,
there's better
awesome.
Answers. I mean, there's better
answers than Wilson?
Rocky's belt!
Oh, yeah. Well,
come on,
Wilson!
Dude. Wilson! Come on. Wilson! What, do you just stay home and you yell at a volleyball all day?
It's just a volleyball. It's on display.
That's your idea of a hoot?
Is it a volleyball or is it a soccer ball?
Volley.
It's okay. Volley.
All right.
Holy mackerel.
It's got blood on it.
I'm a fan with blood on it.
There
with
you
little
go.
Handprints.
Hey, Jason Kelce, 7:30 today. More from Dave Dombrowski, what he said at that press conference. Also, something from Sirianni and Vic Fangio. We'll get to that and more phone calls also on 94WIP. All right, good morning to all. On this fine Thursday morning, getting closer to the Eagles and the Giants, and hopefully a 4-2 football team. Even if they're not good, you got to stack wins. Make the playoffs, and hopefully in the process become good. That's my hope for the team this year. Look, we'll take your calls on the Birds. Also, two other football things I want to bring up here. You may not know either. So I thought last night of someone, and I thought, let me see if this guy's a free agent. Who am I thinking of? Seltzer, put that thinking cap on. Who did I want to check in Pro Football to find out if he's a free agent? And by the way, he is. Rhea?
Who's offensive lineman?
I was originally thinking offensive lineman, Ruben. Too, but Peter's signed already.
Who, Richie, who's a free agent?
I don't know.
Devin White. About two weeks later.
You're not right.
That's not right.
No one's got
no,
the...
No, but you're right, though. Right? It's a point.
That, it's been that, about a week or
yeah,
two. No one's
no
signed
one's
him.
Picked him up.
Like, what is
Said
that?
Something.
Does. I mean, 2 years in a row, you have a problem with an organization? Word gets around, man, not to mention diminished skills. I mean, he got beat up on the Kobe Dean.
Exactly. And he got
that.
Barely any money on the open market to begin with.
And he wasn't
Eagles.
Willing to play special teams. Yeah. So add it all up and... Mm-hmm. You know, good luck, Devin White, you know, trying to foster a good career moving forward because, come on, man. All right, one other thing. Speaking of fostering a good career moving forward, this guy doesn't need a good career for money. He's already got a ton, maybe a billion with his wife. But a really interesting story with Tom Brady. You know, John, the rules
ex-wife.
Came.
Ex-wife.
Oh, ex-wife, yeah. Well, but, you know, he got paid. He got paid out. Yeah.
He did, I think, actually.
No, I don't know. But
I think he got... she's Richard Neal. Yes.
I'm well aware. He's fine.
He's fine, right. He's fine. All right, so part of being fine was that $375 million Fox thing, John. But, you know, we knew before the year there were already going to be restrictions once his thing with the Raiders went through, which it's going through. And we found out yesterday, you know, like he's not allowed to attend, you know, the meetings with the coach and the quarterback.
At the facility, right?
At the facility and all that stuff that helps the broadcaster prepare. But
this is incredible.
Yeah, but there's one I want to drop in.
The production meeting.
Just wait, John.
John, that's not chump change. That is nothing compared to this one. Now think about this for an announcer. He is officially prohibited from publicly criticizing game officials and other clubs.
What?
Wow.
How do you announce a football game?
You can't.
And this explains in part why he's been so boring.
You cannot.
Wow.
Can't do it.
Because I've seen him do games where the quarterback is doing a lousy job, and he doesn't say
Deshaun
it.
Deshaun Watson. He did a game with Deshaun Watson.
And he doesn't say it. John, now we know why. He's not allowed.
Now it all makes sense.
Well, that's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
That list of infractions or stipulations,
sure.
The one, it's fascinating. Prohibited from publicly criticizing game officials. So the officials and other clubs. Like, that's 32 teams. 32 teams. That's
it's the teams themselves.
You are prohibited from publicly criticizing every team in the NFL. So how are you supposed to do your job as a color analyst?
It's bad.
Where you criticize all 32 teams in the NFL. You compliment, you criticize. That's both of what you do. That's the half of it. You compliment, you also criticize. That's the other half of it. What about not permitted to witness practice? Does that mean, like, not permitted to witness practice, does that mean you don't even get to watch film of practice either? Like, that is such a huge
Well, he's going to have to watch all 22 to prepare for games. Well, that's what he's got.
These guys, I know, and these guys come to town on Friday. They talk with the players, with the coaches. They hang out. They watch so much tape.
It's bad.
To get ready for these games. You must watch so much tape to get ready for these games. How in the world is he going to be able to be fully
Ruben,
prepared?
Ruben, what are your thoughts?
You just cannot. You can't do your job properly.
No,
as an announcer and as a broadcaster, you just cannot do your job well. I mean, that was the one thing that was difficult for me was being critical. Mm. But you had to be critical, and because you don't have any credibility if you're not.
And that goes to Fox as an outlet who hired him.
Fox must be livid right now.
I mean,
they're going. I'm getting 40% of Tom Brady right now,
I mean, seriously, like Fox now, they're paying through the nose for this guy. He decides he's going
to
go, own a team.
He may have
all these stipulations brought down upon himself. What's Fox's recourse?
He may have to step away from that. He may literally have to step away from it. I know, obviously, in his contract, he was allowed to become an owner, but this is sort of insane.
It is.
He just cannot do his job properly.
It is a conflict of interest, without a doubt.
No question.
It is something Something must change.
Makes them boring, too. I mean, you can't have a game where a guy's not allowed to say a negative comment. All right, let's go to the phones. By the way, Jason Kelsey with us in a couple minutes. Salvador right now in Coatesville. Good morning, Salvador.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing all right, Salvador.
I could care less about Tom Brady, man. That guy, he's a cheater.
Yeah, but here's the point. You're going to have 5 to 8 games a year where you're probably going to be able to see him. And if the broadcast is boring, then you are going to care.
Well, I mean, I just think he's boring altogether anyway. But I want to move. I want to talk about Nick Sirianni, man. All right, so that what you had read earlier, that article, that explains a lot why he brought his kids up there. He's trying to, you know, soak up every opportunity that he gets with his head coaching job because he knows he's done after this. So I really believe that he really did think that if he lost that game, that he was going to get fired.
It's an interesting theory. I hadn't heard it until Shiel wrote it in his article for The Ringer. It's an interesting theory if that's why Nick was so over the top after the game that he thought he was about to get canned if they lost. I mean, maybe.
Yeah, that's why he brought his kids up there. He's, you know, this might be my last opportunity. Let me get my kids up here. Like, what's next? Is he going to bring his dog up there next? Like, what's going on?
Look, I tend to think it probably won't happen again.
I cannot imagine it happening again. If it happens again, don't you think it's
so
like, hey,
it is embarrassing.
If it happens again, I think that's like the last straw where Nick is saying, hey, you know what? The hell with this.
If it happens again, that's on the team.
Yeah. Unless it's a playoff win, something like that.
Playoffs
that's a totally different deal. Totally different deal.
Didn't he already say that he was going to like change that whole?
Well, he didn't specify that. Well, we asked him 2 days ago on the show. And he did not commit to whether he will or won't do it again. He made it sound like he committed to leaving it open.
Oh, that's what he committed to. Open to it.
Correct.
Like he said, you would do it too if it were your family or something along those lines.
And I wouldn't.
And I wouldn't either. No, I don't think it's appropriate.
No, it's not. Hey, Salvador, give me a great answer here. A movie prop you'd like to have in your home?
Real quick, act like you've been there, Nick. All right, so my movie prop is going to be the statue, the world is yours, statue, Scarface.
All right, you got it, my man. What did he say from Scarface?
The world is yours, Stetson? What did he say?
Not a good answer. Not a good answer.
From Scarface?
Now, maybe that's a better answer than some of what Dave Dombrowski said the other day. Seltzer, the answer we could barely hear, or Dombo. All right, let's listen to Dombrowski the other day because, you know, he covered a lot of ground. I thought this one really summed up, John, one of his main points. All right, I won't even. You listen, you'll know. Here's Dombrowski the other day.
You've talked a lot about the status quo so far. Where do you think you can upgrade this roster? Where do you look to upgrade this roster this offseason?
Well, I'm not really going to give you all those things at this point because I think it's a situation where then it's easy to say, well, if you do this, then you're getting rid of this player, right? I mean, the reality is we have a lot of good players, right? I mean, and so I think we just have to be open-minded to exploring what's out there for us, talk to some clubs, and see what ends up happening. That process hasn't started. Sometimes you trade good players for good players. And so those are the areas. I mean, the reality is we have a third base, we have a shortstop, we have a second base, we have a first base, we have a DH, we have a catcher. Probably need to, and we've talked about Russ JT a little bit more as we go forward. We talked about Castellanos, we talked about Marsh, so there's one outfield spot. The reality, we like our bench, and we've got some good bench players. So if you're going, we have, you know, four solid starting pitchers. We can upgrade the fifth spot for sure. Our bullpen really pitched well, but you always want to look at your bullpen and see if you can get better and how that happens. But we've done a good job. Our people in the organization have done a good job at taking guys that are not high-profile relievers and making them productive pitchers for us. So we'll explore that. But I think it really comes down to an open-mindedness of conversations and see where that takes you.
John? That answer bother you? Because, you know, I wasn't as down on the Nebraska press conferences a lot. Does that answer bother you?
I felt like everything he said was a little too lackadaisical.
A little bit. I'll buy that. The whole thing was
But I want to be... I've always felt, like, comforted by his... By the way he puts it.
He always had in the past.
This fell so short. for me. And maybe it's just because I'm upset, you know, still, or, you know, like I just don't, I'm not ready to be good with any of it. I hope that's it. I hope that Dave Dombrowski really has the right plan in place.
Ruben, let me ask you this question, then we'll get to Jason Kelce in just one moment. So when you win 95 games, but you tail off at the end of the year, how do you as a general manager evaluate what you really have for the next year? Like, do they have a 95-win team? Do they have an 88-win team? You know, as they assess the degree to which they need to make changes. Like, a lot of people were really, really, really annoyed with Dombrowski. I thought, I'll agree with John, I think he was a little lax the other day. I thought the presentation was a little light. Little too not owning the negative side of the early playoff failure. But his broad point, basically, of we got a really good team, and if we got like a lot of this back next year, we got a shot to go win this thing because, again, we got a really good team. Like, that resonates with me because I believe it's true. But from a general manager's perspective, which you were, how do you balance 95 wins when you're backing your way in at the end and then you get clipped early in the playoffs?
Well, you have to get together with your lieutenants and say, okay, guys, let's be realistic. Where are we? What do we need to do? What is the next step? And let's make a plan. And part of that is, one, you know, having people who are around you who are honest and open, and you know, they're paid for their opinions. You got to get people who are forthright with their opinions, whether they disagree with you or not. So you got to get the right people around you. And I think he's got those people. I also think it's super important to not lay your cards out on the table, man. It's a very uncomfortable position when you have a plan and you have players on your club that are good players and you want to move them or have to move them or feel like there's a change that needs to be made. There's a personal matter here that you have to deal with. I mean, we dealt with it with Bobby Abreu, and it took a little while for us to end up moving him. And we had to actually go to his home and talk to him and tell him, hey, we're not trading you. You know, all these rumors that are out there. It's a very uncomfortable position to be in, and you don't want to lay your cards out on the table publicly because that devalues your talent. And so You want to put yourself in a position to make the right deals and make the right changes without having the entire world knowing exactly what you're doing.
That makes sense. I mean, I think the Boehm thing's a prime example.
It's uncomfortable.
We don't know if they're going to move off Boehm. I kind of hope they keep him, but we'll see. But
you kind of hope they keep him?
Unless they have something dramatically better coming in. I like Alec Boehm.
You can't move Alec Boehm.
He was second in the National League in doubles.
I think we could get much because of that.
Well,
that's because possible. Of that, we could get so... Man.
You're robbing Peter to pay Paul, which is fine. But you better not miss on a player like this because he's under control and he's a really good player. Look at the numbers, you know, compared to the rest of the world. And you talk
about
him,
Ruben.
And this guy, 100 RBIs, he hits 280, he gets on base, he can drive the ball gap
to gap. But is he a head case, Ruben?
He can do a lot of different things. I don't know that. I think that they're probably not happy with the way things ended with him,
right?
Both physically and emotionally. But you can't just move off of a guy. Maybe he can grow up. Maybe you can talk to him about it. Maybe he can make an adjustment. Maybe he can grow some. You don't want to you move off of a guy like that unless you know you're getting better somewhere, significantly better, because this is a really good player.
Well, look, we'll ask everyone. Boehm, are you in or are you out? Where do you stand? 215-592-9494. Let's also talk to Jason Kelce. Of course, he joins us every Thursday at this time, brought to us by Garage Beer. The garage is always open. Light beer like it used to be. Find Garage Beer at your local retailer or at drinkgaragebeer.com. That website again, drinkgaragebeer.com. Official beer of the Kelce brothers and dads everywhere. Jason, good morning, bud.
Joe, how we doing?
Good, man. A lot going on. How are you? How's your week going, Jason?
It's good. I'm in the nasty natty right now. I'm back in my nice. College town. I was a buddy of mine's getting honored by the College of Business. It's homecoming week.
Good.
So, yeah, having some fun.
You know, Jason, my first thought when you said that, you know, you had to be there, I thought, you know, for your buddy to be honored, which is great, you're there to support him. I thought, oh, boy, this better not be a Wednesday night ceremony, because if it is, there's no way Jason's with us Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m.
Exactly.
But I hope you have fun with your buddies from back home, man. That's important stuff in life. Jason, let's get what a fascinating week for the Birds. And you know, it's funny, we've been talking to Ruben here about, you know, what is Dave Dombrowski going through? Because Ruben went through it, Dave Dombrowski's going through it. So, you know, we can ask a very similar type of question to you about the Eagles right now. We'll get to the actual football in a second. But you've dealt with firestorms in your career where, you know, you look left, you got Chip Kelly. You look right, you got Carson falling apart. You got Doug looking haggard at the end of 20. Like, sometimes things are great and sometimes they're not. When the town is coming down on the Eagles or on a specific person like Sirianni this week, how does that reverberate in the building? What are those guys going through this week, and how much can they insulate themselves from it and say football, 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 and how much is it impossible to block it out?
Well, it's a difficult question to answer because I think there's – so one of the beautiful things about sports is the moment you step on the field, you have the ability, like all that other stuff doesn't matter. And the Phillies don't have that ability right now because the season's obviously over, so they're going to have to sit with this for a while. But as a player, when you're playing in the middle of the season like the Eagles are, the moment you hit the field, man, I'm focused on trying to get better today. I'm here with my teammates, and you're able to kind of block that out. But especially in a city like Philadelphia, it's impossible not to hear it. Even when you, let's say you don't listen to WIP, which I've done many times in my career to
right,
avoid it,
right.
You're still going to hear it. You're going to hear it from, you know, friends and family. People are going to text you, you know, let's see what this guy said. And it's like, I don't need you to text me. Yes, I know what he said. So, you know, you're going to feel all the negative comments, and you're also going to feel all the positive comments when things are going really, really well. And I think a lot of it comes down to, you know, how good and secure you are at handling these things. And, you know, I think I've talked about this at length before, but a lot of the best players really have a very good sense of, you know, self-awareness, right? Because the media is going to say a lot of things that a lot of times aren't accurate or, you know, miss the mark. And then they're also going to say a lot of times they're like very, very pointedly true. And it takes a very aware individual of what is real and what's not, because you can get swept up. And like, I've seen guys and players before where they almost like anything that is said negatively, they push it away and they're like, man, these guys don't know what they're talking about. And the reality is sometimes they do know what they're talking
about. Sure.
And I think that, you know, you have to be really good at navigating what's real, what's not. Does it affect you? I think it probably affects everybody when it gets to a certain extent. You know, obviously I've been very open about 2016. I had a down year.
Yeah.
And even like I remember, and I'm very good friends with equipment manager, Greg Delametros. Love Greg. And Greg said something, I just like snapped on him. And you realize that's not about Greg. This is about me, right? This is about things that I'm like fighting for my life right now to maintain the position of center for the Philadelphia Eagles. So I think all that stuff's going to affect you. You have to really maintain a clear focus on what you need to do to improve it. And is that difficult? It is. And some guys are better at it than others.
Jason, what the heck is going on with Nick right now? We had weird stuff. We had Nick telling us he made a defensive play call, and then we had Vic Fangio turning around and saying, nah, he didn't really make a play call. You know, that wasn't what that was. You know, like refuting what he told us. Not a great look. It feels like it's sort of scramble mode right now. What is your take on what's going on at the top right now with the Eagles organization?
Yeah, in terms of, you know, I don't remember what the actual quote was from Nick about calling a defensive play. So I don't necessarily know what that was about.
Well, Jason, let me say this before you even crank up that answer. We can play the audio. Let's actually play this, James, because we have both things. We have We have the Sirianni audio, and then we have the Vic Fangio audio. So, James, let's play.
Vic's response.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead.
Jason, yeah, let's play it. So this is Nick. This is post-game. This is Sunday after the game, probably around 4:30. And here is Nick indicating that he had made two calls.
I'll say this. I made the call on 3rd and 1. Nobody else but me. And, you know, like I said to you, sometimes I did that on defense one time as well. You know, made a call on defense. That didn't work out, just so you know. Just I'll put that out there. That wasn't on Vic. I won't tell you which play. But I'm going to do that from time to time.
All right, so that was ahead, John.
Sorry. So I feel like, Jason, like this is so missing the mark. And I'm curious as to your feelings on, like, why is he doing this? And is this really helping us get better if he's absolving everyone else of, you know, of blame? I think this concept of saying, hey, just put that on me, there are people who actually need to be blamed. Like, it didn't work. And we're being told by Vic Fangio, like, you really didn't have much impact anyway. Like, what in the world are you doing?
Well, I'll say, I think, without knowing the details of the situation, I think Nick, in general, is a very accountable person. And anything that he has, I guess, input into what could have resulted in a negative play, he's going to take ownership of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that is good, quite frankly.
I do, too. I agree with that.
I think it's good for the head coach to acknowledge mistakes. I think it's a very important thing to happen.
Yes.
And it's important for your players to see that because they all know when it happens. I think that, you know, him calling a play, you know, that could be as simple as, like obviously, Nick's in this situation where he's in charge of game management, like, and he's in charge of certain situations that are, whether it's short yardage, like 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, you know, 2-minute timeout usage, like, there's certain things that he's in charge of where I think he's a part of some of these decisions where he might not literally be calling the play, but he might be signaling, like, we're doing something with the play. I don't know if that makes sense, mm-hmm. but I think it might be something like that. And I don't want to speak on it because I really don't know, but
mm-hmm, sure.
I think that in general, I think, you know, Nick is trying to take accountability for the things that he's messing up so that the team sees that. And then they in turn take accountability on their end. And mm-hmm. Knowing Nick, like I've been a part of his team meetings, you know, following a game, I can assure you like guys are being held accountable. Now, the media might not see that, and there's a discussion for maybe, you know, whether that's right or wrong. I personally like it when it's more internalized, mm-hmm. and you're really taking full accountability in these team meetings. I think that that's one of the things I've said I like about Nick is that we do that as a team, and we make the corrections, and we show guys like who are doing really well, and we show guys that aren't living up to it because there's this.
I think that's amazing, Jason. Like the stories that we heard from Zach Ertz. Hey, you know, he's putting your number up on the screen.
Yeah.
I'd never heard of that level of you know accountability before. But it begs the question: for all this accountability on the offensive side of things, why are we the only team in the league who hasn't scored in the first quarter?
That's a great question. What is up with that, Jason?
It is a great question. I wish if I knew it, I would run over to NovaCare right now to fix that. I think it's I've been a part of teams that struggle to start. A lot of the times, you know, until they start, you know, starting hot, they just don't have a rhythm early. And now it's one of those things similar to, you know, you're in like a cold slump in baseball, right? Where, you know, it's like in your head a little bit. But I think, you know, the offense has some new pieces. They're trying to figure out with Kellen Moore and what we have with Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown and all of these guys, you know, what is the best thing to do? And I think that right now they've been getting to that as the game goes, and some of the games have gone incredibly well. Some of them, whether it's been injuries or whatever, have not been as, you know, functional. I think, I would love, and I think I saw Lane maybe say this, but I would love to see them kind of go into some tempo. I think it's a really good way when you're kind of struggling to get momentum. Now, the problem is a lot of these early starts have been three and out, and you can't really go in a tempo with a three and out. Like, you need to get a first down and then put the foot on the gas.
I don't think we've ever been good at that, Jason. Like, when you say tempo, you're referring to the two-minute offense.
No, he's saying...
I'm not moving quick.
He's saying...
Get to the line. Next play.
Some hurry up.
Yeah. Even if you say tempo...
Some of it, but in Richie's defense, I do think two-minute is a big part. Like,
well, sure.
Your tempo offense, a lot of those plays tend to be the two-minute plays.
Yep.
I think they get
Kenny Gainwell in there a lot of the times. When they're talking tempo, they're talking... two-minute Kenny Gainwell a lot of the time. Is that what we're talking about?
No. It's not full-on two-minute. I mean, I think a lot of the passing concepts are in you know, I don't want to, you know, I think tempo plays, a lot of that offense is two-minute offense, but obviously you're not calling any of the runs. There's a ton of runs that you can run with tempo, no huddle. And we've done this before. We did a lot and actually had a lot of success with Jalen and the offense before doing this, where you just like, hey, we need to spark a rhythm. We're going to go tempo early. And I say most of the time it works pretty well. And a lot of it is because it's a very generic offense that you kind of, instead of being, you know, predetermined before the game, right? Like, that's first quarter, you're calling a lot of first 15 plays. And a lot of those are scripted and designed for specific things. And sometimes it's not what you get, especially when you have a quarterback like Jalen, or you have a high-powered offense, and you have a guy like A.J. Brown, teams tend to play you differently when you have in like pieces that are different.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes that's a result why the first 15 struggles, because they don't even use that terminology. I'm just so used to that with Andy Reid. But those openers, they're scripted and they're designed for what they think you're going to get. And when you don't get that, it's like, hey, let's get off of this. Let's just go into our offense. And that's the thing that I like about tempo, is that tempo is like a very generic form of, like, these are our, like, tried and true plays. Everyone knows them. Maybe we didn't even rep this play this week, but we've run it against everything 1,000 times, so we feel comfortable doing it. And you can get to that in the heat of the moment as a play caller. It's like, okay, this is what they're giving me. Let's go into tempo. I know I like this, this, and this. I know I like this, this, and this. So, and the other benefit of it is your guys have repped it, you know, a million times, so they're very comfortable running it. But that's one of the things that we've done before that I've always liked, to kind of you know, spark something.
You know, it doesn't seem like at the end of halves it works as well as it should, though, Jason. Like, that idea of moving faster and getting the ball down there and scoring points at the end of halves, I've always been frustrated with the fact that we don't convert the way we should. Do you agree with that?
I don't know. I don't know what the numbers say. I always felt like Jalen was actually pretty good in 2 minute. I don't know what the actual analytics are on that, to be honest with you, Richie. But again, this is a different, like, tempo, although it's similar to the end of half 2 minute, like, they are going to be calling run plays. Like, it's not the exact same. I mean, it's actually, there's even different terminology between the 2 minute stuff and kind of what I'm referring to. So it's not exactly apples to apples, even though there is some similarities. Okay.
All right, 215-592-9494. You can join us, obviously, with Jason here for about an hour. By the way, Ruben, I got to tell you, when Jason referenced, and I was like, oh my God, preparing for a situation, thinking you're going to get something, and then sometimes the team gives you something else. Ruben, I thought a freaking game four of the Phillies and Mets. They kept thinking they were going to get a fastball. They kept getting a breaking ball in the dirt, and they kept swinging for a fastball.
Correct.
I mean, for the love of, like, how did they not know by, I don't know, the fifth inning?
Before the series started.
The second inning. The ball was going in. Just don't swing.
You saw the Dodgers series right after that.
I know. I don't know. I don't watch this anymore. No. I don't watch.
The very first game, dude. They were spitting on pitches.
I'm out on the baseball playoffs.
What I've noticed most is that they've had shutouts. I didn't think you were allowed to win games in the playoffs.
The Dodgers have been scoring a lot of runs off the Mets pitching. I'll say that.
You know who
from an eight spot
the
last
Mets
night.
Pitching is not very good.
James, you know who doesn't
was against
know,
us.
You know who doesn't know that? This guy. I'm out. I'll see the playoffs next year. All right. Let's also get to the Twitter poll question of the day, which the Phillies will be in, by the way. Twitter poll we got three poll questions today brought to us by Armin Chevrolet with the all-new 2025 Equinox. It sets the bar on styling, and Armin Chevrolet has them in stock now. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. All right, first poll question. Following the Phil season, whose failures bothered you the most? Is it Dombrowski, the players, or Rob Thompson? Second poll question, and boy, do we hope the answer to this question is yes. Second question, do you think the Eagles will become a good team this year? Yes or no? They're clearly not now. They're 3-2, but they're not good. Do you think they become good? Yes or no? And as we've been asking on the phone lines, what's the path to getting that done? Third poll question, and I'm not making this up. This is an actual question online. Is Joe Conklin an actual member of the media? Because he told me in Wechter 2 days ago he's a member of the media, and we were like, dude, what are you talking about? Now, when we mentioned this at the very end of yesterday's show,
he was not joking.
He was not
when
joking.
He said this.
No, he's serious about
it. He said it in
it
stride.
It almost sounds like it could have been
he
a punchline.
He has a whole argument and everything.
And you didn't realize it.
And here's my response.
What you talking about, Willis?
Did he laugh? Did he laugh when he said?
No. He's very serious
about
it.
Was he chuckling?
No. He says he's like a political satirist in the newspaper. For real.
Look what by the way, so then he calls in at the end. Jason, you got to listen to this. This is great. So yesterday in Times Yours. We're doing Times Yours yesterday, and Joe, to his credit, having some fun with it, calls in as if he was asking a question in an actual press conference, which, you know, media members do. This is what transpired at the end of yesterday's show.
Okay, we'll go to Marcus Hayes, and then Ruben Frank. Oh, wait, first we'll go to Joe Conklin. Yeah, Coach, experts around the country are referring to you as a clown. Hunt. Your behavior on and off the sideline has been labeled sophomoric. Your comment.
All right. Now, Jason, because we were also talking about he could go in and ask questions in Allen Iverson voice and Joel, if he was actually a member. Conklin's not a member of the media, or is he? You be the arbiter here. Is he?
He's on the radio a bunch. I guess he's a member of the media. I mean, he's not Yeah, obviously he's a different, he's
a different category.
And funny, yeah. it's not like, I would say he's a member of the media. Yeah.
James, what is your argument against it?
Well, I'm going to go right against Jason Kelce. He's absolutely not a member of the media. He is hilarious and he makes media, but he's not a member of the media. It's a key distinction.
Wow. I think maybe that's being a member of the media now, though.
Has
media,
if you make
a great question.
I doubt it.
I don't think he's got a credential.
No.
All right, so let's get some calls in here. Jason with us, a lot on the Eagles, the Phils. By the way, Jared McCain with a bad fall yesterday in the Sixers game. We certainly hope he's okay. We'll see, if he misses time. Of course, the season starts. Let's see, today's Thursday. It starts next Wednesday, so it starts in 6 days. So,
Good thing we've got all these injuries right before the season starts.
We hope he's okay. Maybe some problems.
Your town, your team.
With the breathing and some problems maybe with the concussion. And, so let's hope he's all right. All right, let's get to John in Plymouth Meeting right now. John, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Jason, Kelce, great to be on the line with you. Huge fan. I want to talk Eagles. Sirianni has got to go. Look at how he played Sunday against, the Browns. When he first came on his board, I said, this guy's more excited about being a coach than before he's even coached. And I fell into it. I felt, maybe this guy's good. And he did last year, the worst collapse in history, and he's starting right back up again. I think it's not on the players. I think it's the coach. I think Jalen's going to go as far as he can with Sirianni. I think it's time for him to go. I think it's not too late in the season to make that change. I mean, he did take us to the Super Bowl, but you know what? We're digressing every year.
Here's the first thing I'll say. Here's the first thing, John. Number one, it's not too late in the season, but I don't expect them to fire him in season, and I don't think they should. I really don't. I do think it's more on Hurts than Sirianni, and that's saying something because I think Nick has not done a good job this year. I think what Nick has been worst at this year, frankly, is one of the easiest things to clean up. In-game decisions and antics. That's an easy cleanup. I mean, I really say what you want about his first 3 years. I thought Nick Sirianni I thought Nick Sirianni was a well above average coach at in-game decisions on punt, field goals, and fourth downs. He was great at it, like Doug was. But he has had a bad run. He's made bad decisions. There's been some bad luck. Saquon dropped that ball. That's bad luck. You know, if Saquon catches that, they're 4-1. John, I believe that stuff can get cleaned up.
Of this offense, we are told every time we're asked about it that they collaborate. He is a common thread that goes back to the very beginning when we were frustrated by the slip screens and all that stuff to the outside. Like, why are we always throwing outside the numbers? Like, that really was an issue. And here we are. Again, 4 years later,
yeah, but John,
doing
it's
the same
four,
stuff.
Four coordinators. It hurts.
Why are you so certain?
Because I know it is.
It's Hurts and Sirianni. They are both
John,
culpable.
It's not even Sirianni's offense.
Stinking. No, that's the truth. The truth is, we saw this offense, and we knew it was Sirianni's offense, and it looks really darn similar. Like, it really is close to the same stuff we saw 4 years ago.
James, can we just start labeling this Jalen Hurts' offense?
Yeah,
can we stop saying it's Shane Steichen's?
Well,
it's Brian
Johnson's, were talking about, how about
it's Nick
this? Ready for, are you ready for Steichen's. A stat? Ready for this? The under center thing we were talking about. I looked it up. Okay. Kellen Moore, in his 6 years in Dallas, ran under center 40% of the time.
That's a lot.
The Eagles have run under center dropbacks 4% of the time this year. Four.
That's Jalen Hurts. All right, John, give me an answer. Give me a movie item that you'd like to display in your home.
Can I just say one thing? I believe Joe Conklin is not in the media. Maybe when he's on with you guys, maybe I'll consider. But he's an entertainer. Entertainer nonetheless.
A tremendous entertainer.
I actually saw it in the show, and I actually went and bought it. Frank Sinatra's mugshot in Sopranos.
Need a movie prop.
Yeah, movie. All right. Well, he gave us a TV show. What are you going to do? TV show. All right, Jason. Today we're giving away a prize. Give me a prop, Jason, from a movie that, if you could own it, it would be the number one, and it has to fit in your home. We said earlier, it's not like the Batmobile, and it doesn't have functional capabilities like a lightsaber from Star Wars. It doesn't actually work. You get the item, and you get to use it or display it in your home. What are you choosing?
Man, I mean, I already have the dude sweater, and I wear it a lot, but that would be, you know, maybe the rug from the Big Lebowski.
Holy cow. You have the dude sweater?
Well, I have
a matching sweater.
Yeah, matching sweater. I guess having the actual one would be pretty darn cool.
That would be cool.
What are my other favorite movies? Like, what is maybe The Note to Andy Dufresne, or from Andy Dufresne? At the end of Shawshank Redemption.
Sure. That's just a piece of paper, though.
But
that'd be pretty cool. I don't know. That'd be, yeah.
What about the record player that he plays the music over the, you know?
It is kind of hard. Why can't the lightsaber
from,
work?
Lord of the Rings?
Nice. Yo, the precious. What an answer.
Yeah.
Wear that every day.
That's a great answer.
Ruben,
awesome.
What would you go with, Ruben? You get to pick anything ever in movie history. What do you choose?
I already went with the Wilson. You didn't like my answer.
No, it's a bad answer.
I think the precious ring really is a great answer.
Precious ring is a phenomenal answer.
Redemption, I want that.
Joe's never
favorites.
Seen Lord of the Rings. So.
How about the beers that they were drinking? Just line them up.
With their corn.
Do you trust your wife?
You get an empty,
Ruben,
you
do
get,
you trust your wife?
It's an empty beer can. You want an empty beer can?
Yeah.
That floats your boat?
Line them all up.
An empty
line them all up. Put them in it. Yeah, line them all up.
Give me Dorothy's red ruby red slippers.
Oh, someone on hold had that.
Too bad. 2 hours into the show. Someone should have said Dorothy's slippers
before
this.
Why do you want that?
Why?
It's
maybe the most famous prop in the history of movies.
Wow.
Now I got them.
Yeah, but lightsabers.
Now they're mine.
And then I sell them for $15 million, and I don't have to work here anymore.
See, the whole idea is to show it to people when they come into your house, not to make money off it.
I'm joking.